Lord, let us seek the truth, come whence it may, cost what it will. Amen. Please be seated. You know, throughout all time, we, the people of the earth, have been given signs and shown wonders and witnessed miracles over and over and over again that prove that God exists, that we are God's creation, and we are God's children. Yet we stand divided by nation and race and gender and creed and orientation and politics and a seemingly endless range of categories that we have compartmentalized ourselves into as the human race. You know how quickly we forget the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave to us? To love God and to love our neighbor. It's no wonder that just a couple weeks ago, he reminded us that the Holy Spirit was going to come and remind us of everything that he said. And you know, it's not just us today, 2,000 plus years after the resurrection of Christ, that it's not just us who need to be reminded what Jesus said. This morning in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul was writing, and those people in his day had also forgotten that they were God's children. Paul's world was one of post-Christendom. We're also post-Christendom. And the same conditions that presented themselves to St. Paul when he was establishing the original churches are the conditions that we face in the world now. All of these letters that Paul was writing to those churches, he's writing to us. Paul says this. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. These words are as true today as they were when Paul wrote them to the churches of his day. The epistle is addressing the issues of the day that are human-centric. The things they were arguing about, are the Jews actually saved? Should non-Jews be able to take up the Jewish practices? Should the Jewish practices that have sustained them for millennia be set aside? And you know, the more things change, the more I think they stay the same. Because if I were to take those arguments and those words and put them in the context and in language today, it would sound something like this. But we've always done it that way. Does that sound familiar? We are still arguing about how to face the challenges of a new creation. What is it that is meet and right for us so to do? Are we ignoring what Jesus told us? He said, I am making all things new. I give you a new commandment. And the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor. It's no wonder we need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit what Jesus said. Because by our very nature, we get caught up. We rationalize. We put our own needs and our own wants and concerns first. Abraham Maslow was a pioneer psychologist, and he talked about different levels of conscious need. What he said was there's survival and security and belonging and status. And only when these four needs are met, only then do we get to move up to that level of self-actualization. And this needs to be what we do that is rewarding and fulfilling for us. He says all of us are at one of these levels at any given point in our lives. But I'll tell you what, there's some good news. Because no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what level we're on or what point we're at, Jesus is there for us at all of these levels. It doesn't matter what we're facing. We just have to remember to meet all of our challenges and to make all of our decisions from a position of love. The Old Testament reading talks a little bit about the people of the earth coming together and that God is the God of all the heavens and the earth. And I like what they ask. It says, how long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. How simple. The things that linked all of these texts together this morning for me was this. Number one, God has proven to us over and over again that God exists. Two, God told us that we're all God's children and we're all worthy of God's love. Three, the only thing God asks us to do is to love God and to love each other, and the rest will take care of itself. Loving God, loving each other, that's our highest calling. It's a simple request. Just make every single thought that you think, and every word that you say, and every action that you take, make sure they're all done with a loving heart. How easy is that? I don't think that's so easy. We start off with loving hearts, and then the human needs kick in. And we quickly digress and rationalize our words and direct our actions to be self-serving. In many cases, we also exclude people who are not like us or who don't agree with us. And we end up not loving each other and not serving God as we're called and compartmentalizing instead of community building. The gospel this morning deals with death and it deals with faith and compassion and love. But I'll tell you what really struck me about the gospel this morning, and that's how the community brought the centurion into relationship with Jesus. The centurion knew ultimately that all authority comes from God. His military background included a very strong understanding of the chain of command. The centurion realizes the truth, that God's own power resides in Jesus. Then the centurion is connected to Jesus through the community. Keep in mind in the gospel this morning, Jesus and the centurion never meet. They never speak to one another. It's the community that acts as an advocate for the centurion. The centurion has faith, and through that faith, his servant is healed. It makes me think that what it really means is that what we do as a community to support one another matters. It matters to each other as individuals. It matters to the greater world that are outside those doors. Like the community in the gospel this morning that acted on behalf of the centurion, we are the community today. And we need to act on behalf of the people in need who are marginalized and oppressed and our poor brothers and sisters of the world. We need to empower them. Well, if you're going to study the scripture, here it comes. You have to learn to love the questions. All of today's readings are asking this question: who do you serve? How do we act on behalf of our brothers and sisters of the world and stay focused on love? Now, some of you have heard the story that I'm about to tell before, and it's because I think it has some impact on what's going on in the scripture this morning. One of my favorite authors is Robert Fulghum. He's a minister and a writer whose most famous book is Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. I think that the title is really, really a good thing, because what Robert learned in kindergarten was to love people, to be kind to others, and to share everything that he had. I want to focus, though, on his third book, because Robert asks his readers to reframe some questions that are commonly put to us by our parents, our mothers in particular. He calls these the great mother questions. And I want to ask us as a community these same questions in light of our post-Christendom world, where we know that Jesus is the Christ, where we know that we're asked only to love God and to love each other and our neighbors, and a world where as individuals and as a community, we need the Holy Spirit to remind us to love as we serve others. Robert's house in Seattle is across the street from an elementary school, and there is a very high fence that separates where the children are dropped off and picked up every day. Now, he can't see what's going on, but he can hear what's going on. And one morning, he heard a car door open and then slam shut, and a woman's voice came blasting over the fence. "Billy, what on earth have you done?" Well, his own mother had asked him the same questions, as did mine, and I imagine whoever raised you asked you that same question at one point or another, and eventually you're going to have kids, and your kids' kids are going to ask their kids that same thing. What on earth have you done? Robert thought about that, and then he changed the emphasis, and he asked himself the question, along with several others that he'd been asked in childhood, and I want you to ask yourself these same questions. Think about what they mean to you as individual Christians and as members of a community of faith. What on earth have you done? What in God's name are you doing? What in the world will you think of next? The world stands divided by nation and race and gender and creed and orientation and politics and a seemingly endless range of categories we have compartmentalized ourselves into as the human race. How quickly we forget to simply love God and love our neighbor. So I ask you, as a community, what on earth have we done? Well, I think we've done a lot. I think that we are a giving and loving community, but in God's love, it's expansive. And we can always do more. Contemplate this. Contemplate this when you're thinking about volunteering for a new ministry. What in God's name are we doing? We're doing a lot, but every single ministry that this church undertakes needs to be continually supported. What in the world will we think of next? I have no idea. God is continually creating, and we as a community need to be aware of new opportunities to show God our love and to show love for others. We may not be able to see a ministry or an opportunity that's way ahead of us, but we can plan so that this community is thriving and serving God for this generation and the next generation and all the generations to come. What we do matters. We're connected to each other as a community through the love of God. We need only to be open to God's love and willing to share that love with each other and make it work. Because what we say matters. What we don't say also matters. Because the only thing that evil needs is for good people to keep quiet. But instead of silence, we need to meet words of hate with words of love. Declare his glory to the nations and share the truth with all people. Because if we love one another and we stop being so afraid of each other, we're no longer going to need to be so afraid for each other. Because there's nothing you can do that can't be done if it's done with love. Brilliance, that requires creativity. Wisdom, that requires patience. But love? Love requires nothing. And it gives us everything in return. Amen.